As signing day creeps closer, is Auburn on the verge of losing some commitments? It's time for another barn takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. It's time for another Barn Takeover, where the whole show is driven by members of thebarnauburn.com, which you can easily become a member for just a little bit longer, for just a dollar. Where they submit their questions on Wednesday, and we dive into them. We break them down one by one, pick some of the best ones, the most entertaining ones, and then we have some fun. So there's going to be some recruiting talk, some basketball talk, some, hey, how about some AD talk, athletic director talk, and then some portal talk as well. So we'll jump into that in just a second. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for, listen to this. This is a new thing they're doing, okay? You can get a 300% deposit in the casino and 50 free spins by using the exact same code next round. And it's not just your initial deposit, it's any deposit. So I think maybe multiple uses. So, man, talk about give them 100 bucks. I guess they're going to give you another 300 back to play with in the casino, which they got all the casino games you can imagine, blackjack, roulette, all that good stuff, and then the slots and stuff like that, and then 50 free spins on the slot. So have some fun in there and do it with your risk-free money, and then hit the sports book and bet it any way you like. So check it out, mybookie.ag. All right, let's just go ahead. We got several really, really good questions. We're going to jump into these right off the bat and have some fun. Brett Moran, talk me off the ledge. I feel like we're going to lose some key commits in the next couple of weeks. What say you? Well, signing day is less than 2 weeks away. And everybody's swarming on some of the Auburn commits. You've heard a lot of chatter about possibly Deuce Knight. You've heard chatter about Jared Smith. You've heard chatter about Traveris Dice. A lot of these guys are being pursued heavily. The crazy thing is, I really only think Jared Smith is the one that's the most, if you had to pick somebody that's most likely to decommit, I think Jared Smith would be the most likely of those to flip. I really don't see this wave that you're seeing. I don't, I mean, I'm talking to a lot of different people, a lot of different angles on this thing. I could be wrong, but I don't see it. I just don't. I think this weekend you're going to have a lot of these guys on campus, and you'll be able to solidify, hopefully, a lot of their commitments. And if you put a good product on the field, who knows what could happen? Because you're going to have some uncommitted prospects and some prospects committed elsewhere here this weekend again. So I don't see the skies falling yet. I don't see that. Now, talk to me in a week, but as of right now, I don't see it. I don't see this massive wave of dudes trying to get out of the class, which is in and of itself amazing if you really think about it, how well they've been able to retain these guys throughout the season with things not going the way they had hoped for. I mean, I think most other staffs would be experiencing a lot of stress right now as far as dudes leaving, dudes, you know. I'm going to be honest. Out of 27 commits, there's not that many that are even looking elsewhere. Maybe, what, four or five? I mean, that are, when I say looking elsewhere, maybe even entertaining other places. That's crazy if you really think about it. That's insane. You have a top 10 class. You're looking to add some more to it. And you probably only have three or four dudes that you're necessarily worried about. Could they go elsewhere? You're having to really still work on this late in the game. So I don't see this. I don't see what you're seeing. And I know that's what you're asking. So I hope that helps I guess, make you feel a little bit better for at least the next week or so, because I just don't see it. I don't see the mass exodus that a lot of people are fearing. Let's go to the next one. This is a good one. Well, with Cardae Smith decommitting, are we making a push? If you remember, Cardae Smith, I believe it's either Williamson or Davidson. I get those two mixed up down in Mobile. He was at the time he committed to Auburn. I don't know what he is now. A four-star offensive tackle, was committed to Auburn for quite a while, and then he flipped his commitment to USC. And then as of late, I think he's decommitted from USC, and I think there's a lot of smoke for Colorado. I do not think Auburn is going to push for Cardae Smith. And I'll tell you why. I think Cardae is a really good kid. I think he's got a lot of potential. But I don't think he is quite at the level of what he's asking for, if that makes sense. Auburn would be willing to take him in this class, but not for what he's looking for. I'll let you take that for whatever you think. I'll let you interpret that any way you'd like, but it means what I'm saying it means. And if it ends up, just look, he's had Auburn and USC, two premier vast. I mean, even though Auburn's in a dark, dark time, and Colorado is what it is right now, for as long as Shadur's still there, That's where probably he's going to end up. There you go. Put two and two together and see what you come up with. I don't think Auburn's going to push for him. I don't expect him to be in this class. I wish him the best. I hope it works out. I hope the gamble works out for him. He could be one to watch in the portal, later on. So we'll see about that. But good luck to him. He is not going to – I don't see him being in this Auburn class. This is a really good question from D. Moultrie, one of the very, very first members when we launched. A lot of good content from him. With the scholarship cap staying at 85, how many 2025 high school recruits do you think Hugh Freeze and staff will take or sign? Currently have 27 commits. Okay, if you remember, we've been talking about this for a while. There was this house case, this ruling that was going to come down, and it has to do a lot with revenue sharing, scholarship numbers, all kinds of stuff in regards to NIL and how it's all going to be working moving forward. And there was talk that it could be 105 scholarships and then no walk-ons, but I think they finally finally given guidance right here at the end of the game, at the end of the recruiting cycle, there's probably going to be 85 scholarships total and then 105 roster spots total. I think maybe it's been a little bit more than that before, but that's what they're limiting it. That's what they're probably going to limit it to. So if you're thinking it could be 105, you have to prepare for 105. So I think Auburn took a lot of commitments early to sort of prepare. Hey, if we're going to have 105 scholarship athletes, we want to build this thing through high school. We're going to take as many as we can. And then obviously you get it kind of switched on you towards the end. So there's been some attrition. You've seen it with Spencer Dowland that just recently decommitted. I don't see a ton more. So if I'm answering your question direct, the number I think Auburn's going to be at is 28. I think Auburn could lose one to two commits, and they'll add two to three more. So I think you're going to net gain one commit over the next couple of days or next couple of weeks heading up to signing day. And I think you'll end up around that 28 number. And then you'll go to the portal, and I think you're going to be looking for anywhere from 8 to 12 in the portal. So I think if it had stayed at 105, I think the number 30 number was kind of what people were talking about. That's what you would look at. But I think it's going to drop with it dropping, and you already have so many commits, and it's a really bad look to just cut, five or six dudes that you have committed So I think you'll have maybe one decommitment or flip, maybe one that's an attrition related. And then I think you'll add two to three more to get to that 28 number. So that's kind of the number that I've got. That's kind of the number I've got circled that I think we'll end up at in this 2025 class. Before we keep going, we got some really good stuff still left to talk about. Got to give a shout out to Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Look, go to retirementresults.com/plan. Get your custom free portfolio analysis, a $1,500 value for nothing, for friendship. And Ford is the king of friendship. So it doesn't matter if you already have something in place. Ford can look over it, make sure you're not paying crazy fees, make sure you're taking advantage of the products you need to be taking advantage of. All in all, just a great guy. Tell him War Eagle, tell him we sent you. That's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. All right, let's keep going. This is a really good question because I think there's a lot of misunderstandings with things and not really understanding how this stuff works. So Bo Nix is him. I like that name. Bo's had a pretty big weekend last weekend. I think he was AFC, offensive player of the week or something like that as a rookie. Pretty solid dude. We ran him off. Unbelievable. But anyway, all right, all I hear is about dropping a bag on this guy or that guy. How much are these guys getting paid? I'm happy guys are getting paid, but I'd also be curious to know how much, not just football, but basketball as well. Okay, I'm going to answer that question directly, but before, I'm going to give you some context, okay? When you see a number, for example, let's talk about this Michigan kid, the LSU quarterback that Michigan's going to try to get, and you see $10.5 million over 4 years. Okay. You see these big numbers when like On3 reports on them or this person or that person, you see these big numbers that are thrown out. You have to distinguish who it's coming from. Okay. Because that looks like, okay, Michigan themselves are going to drop a huge bag on this particular quarterback. But in reality, Dave Portnoy is a outside person. It's not coming from a collective. They're coming from big, donors. And a lot of those things are not donors, companies and things like that. A lot of those things are like one-off scenarios. Michigan's not paying $10.5 million to all their quarterbacks. See what I'm saying? So like you got to distinguish what's coming from like what they consider their collective, which is what is the more realistic number, the more, I would say, the more competitive number, the one that is more enticing versus these crazy numbers that are one-offs. You got to be able to distinguish between those, okay? So with that being said, the numbers you see if you hear numbers from Auburn, most all of that is coming from the collective. Auburn doesn't do the whole we're going to pay you, we're going to get you, we're going to give you X amount of money, but then 75% of that money is we promised, quote unquote, from outside sources. And even though they may be legitimate and they may have been talked about before, nothing's necessarily guaranteed. So what's the guaranteed money? Like what are the kids guaranteed? What are they making from like a quote unquote salary that they're actually – they have tasks they have to achieve. They have to fulfill those to justify the money that they're being paid because it is an exchange of services technically still as of now until this new ruling. So with all that being said, kids from the collectives are not getting paid more than, in the low six figures per year for football. There's just not enough money in those collectives to be able to pay these kids millions of dollars per year, especially for football. Now, could there be I'll give you an example. Memphis has FedEx. So FedEx does a lot of stuff for Memphis basketball, does a lot of stuff for Memphis football, where you'll see Memphis get some kids, and you're like, why the heck is that kid going to Memphis? Well, that's why, because they have their collective, but then they have an outside, source that's tied in loosely that wants to you know, that wants to help. But again, a lot of those are one-off scenarios. So again, to answer the question directly, your top players on football from collectives are probably making anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000 a year from the collectives. And then your average player is probably making somewhere in the, you know, high, close to, you know, maybe close to $100,000, but not quite $100,000. And then I would say the vast majority are making somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000. That's just based off the numbers that I've heard. I don't see just the crazy numbers that you're hearing. I just don't think those are realistic. I think those are a lot of marketing and a lot of one-off. Now, basketball, basically take those numbers and multiply them by three, because there's less players. I mean, your top players could probably make close to $1 million from their collectives, maybe even more, especially some of the bigger schools. Like, I think Cincinnati is offering this kid that Auburn wanted, you know, over $1 million a year. And I think that's probably from their collective. Basketball is just, I mean, it's just less guys. You don't have 85 scholarships. You got 13. And really, you probably only have 10 of those that you're, and you honestly maybe not even have 10 of those. Maybe you only have 7 or 8 of those that are big money guys. The rest are probably just role player guys. So you really only have about 6 or 7 dudes that you really want to pay up for. And it's a little bit easier. And Auburn is not traditionally a basketball school. So Auburn struggles sometimes, I think, from the donor base. I think they got some passionate folks, but just not enough of them that put Auburn in a position to be, you know, able to go get those top guys right now. In the age of NIL. So I hope that answers your question. I would say the average player probably just over $100,000 in football from collectives. And then I would say the average top basketball player is probably getting closer to $400,000 to $500,000 a year. So I hope that answers your question. Got to be able to distinguish what's coming from the collective and what's these one-off scenarios, because those are a huge difference. D. Moultrie, this is another question from D. Moultrie, but it's a good one. I know it's early, but how would you grade John Cohen's tenure at AD, as AD at this moment? So I look at ADs from three scenarios. Obviously, coaching hires would be number one. Number two would be facilities and things like that, forward-thinking facilities, and then number three would be obviously fundraising for each individual sport. So he's only had to make really one hire. I'm sure there's probably some other sports that have had to have hires that I just don't follow, and I probably should. So he's obviously hired Hugh Freeze. I think the book's still out on that one. So, but I would say with the ability to keep the donor base and everybody sort of in line and together, and you don't have to look further than the recruiting class to understand that everybody's still pulling in the same direction. That's just incredible that he's been able to do that. Baseball, same thing, pulling those guys together, getting the facilities done, doing what he had to do there. And then basketball, maybe there could be some more. There maybe could be some more help there, I think. Auburn's struggling a little bit. Being able to get super competitive in the NIL space, maybe he could do a little bit better there. But as far as facilities go, I think he's done incredibly well for every sport, maybe just outside of basketball. And then facilities, keeping people in line, keeping people pulling in the same direction, done really well there, could do better in basketball. I would say overall I'd give him an A. I think there's just some work to be done on the basketball side. And then women's basketball is obviously doing really well now too. They're recruiting outrageously. He's got behind Johnny Harris. I think he actually maybe have hired Johnny Harris. So she seems to be kind of turning that program around. So that's a really good that was going to be a really good hire, and that's going to be a really good program. Mike G does a really good job of covering Auburn women's basketball. There's really nobody doing it better. So if you want any. Need to check out the War Report for that, because they do a really good job with women's basketball. So I'd say overall an A. Could do a little bit better in basketball. We need a little bit more help there in basketball. for sure. Brian Beatty, do you think it's more important to Hugh to win, or is it more important to show a prolific passing game for recruits in our current wide receiver room? I'm going to take the easy answer and say both. I don't think he's doing one at the behest of the other, or one in, you know, at the cost of another. Trying to do both. I think it's important to do both. And I think Hugh's identity is more so get what you saw early in the season and what you saw in against ULM. I think that's Hugh's identity and the Hugh, how Hugh sees this team, sees Auburn being able to compete at the top level, is being able to throw the ball and get the ball to your playmakers. And you just look at his history, and that's what he's done, that when he's been successful and when things have been clicking, that's what they've been doing. So I don't think he's trying. I don't think he's selling. I don't think he sold this season away to try to appease players. I think they're trying to win and trying to figure out how to do it with some young guys, some very young, talented guys. And then obviously in the age of the transfer portal and everybody, you got to have at least a part of it in the back of your mind of keeping people happy. But I mean, just look at the 4-game stretch that we had prior to the ULM game. I mean, you were talking small ball, run, I mean, just very simple, not really trying to air it out, just run the ball, play action, dink and dunk type stuff. So they were trying to figure out ways to win the game and not turn it over. They weren't really trying to appease anyone. So I think a little, obviously in an ideal world, you'd love to have both, but I don't think that he's doing one thing and it's costing him the other. I thought that earlier in the year. I really did. I was like, man, maybe we're trying to do too much. Maybe we need to simplify it. But in reality, the only way this offense can work is to just go. It's to throw it and go. When they try to simplify things and when they try to run, when other teams know they're going to try to run, we struggle. We do. The balance is what's helping this run game be so effective. I think that's what you got to do. You got to go tempo. You got to get first downs. You got to throw the ball around, and then, boom, you pound them for 7-8 yards when they're kind of on their heels. That's just how this offense. That's how this offense works. Hope that answers your question. It's not too much of a cop out. Three more. This is a good one. Stormin Norman with some extra N's on the end. How many tackles do we take from the portal? Currently, if I had to say right now, at least one. But I think depending on what's available and how the quarterback position plays out, like, for example, let's say you have a line on the best quarterback available and you feel like you can get him, but it's going to cost a lot. You may only be able to go get, you know, one top offensive tackle because there's not another top offensive tackle available. But what if there's two just blockbuster guys at tackle that go in that want to come to Auburn? They're going to require a high price tag. And you may have to look at taking that one step down quarterback. It all depends on what's available. So I would guarantee one. I would say you're guaranteed to go get one as good of offensive tackle that you could get, but I lean towards probably it being two. I think Auburn's going to try to go get the best quarterback they can possibly get, but so is everybody else in the country. So I'm just going to say Auburn takes their number two, gets their number two quarterback, and that opens the door to get two tackles to protect him. So that's what I would say. It's a complete guess right now because you don't know who's going to go in the portal, but I'm going to say two is what Auburn ends up with. This is a great question. Is Auburn getting a new kicker in the portal? The kicking situation is not anything that's been really good at all, unfortunately. You've had the issues with Alex that are so incredibly unfortunate, and it's just been a it's just been a nightmare with him. I mean, for him, not for us, for him. I mean, it's awful to lose that much weight. Just been, and then now everybody knows about it too, which is even more embarrassing. But, and then you have Towns, who is a true freshman, who is, you know, struggling, doing true freshman stuff, unbelievable on kickoffs. You got the place kicking issues. So does Auburn go to the portal? They could. I think they could, but I also think they're going to look at bringing in try to bring in at least another top high school kicker as well. So, and one of the guys that I'm looking at is Sander Simiklos from Orange Beach High School. Really, really good kicker. Came through Auburn's kicking camp this summer. They really liked him and didn't really there wasn't a lot of traction early because they thought they were going to be – I mean, you got a freshman kicker. But with the struggles that he had, they're like, man, maybe we need to open the door and see, you know, talk to a few more folks. And they actually brought him in on a visit this past weekend for Louisiana Monroe. I don't know if it'd be a scholarship situation. Probably not. Probably going to be walk on with some NIL. But I don't know if they're going to go portal, but I know they're looking at high school guys. So that could be something to watch, though, for sure. And then last one, this isn't really a question, but it's a comment. Preacher, this isn't a question, but Tahad Pettiford is immensely better than Aiden Holloway. There's so many people that are still mad at Aiden Holloway, and I understand. I get it. Hey, he's not having – he had a bad night the other night, but through four or five games, I mean, he's averaging, I think, 1 point less per game than Aiden Holloway, but he's shooting better. He's shooting 40%. Aiden's shooting 40% from three. I think he had a big game last night. I think he had 18 points last night versus Illinois, which has helped him a lot. But I just like Tahad Pettiford for the role that he's playing. I think he's a better finisher than Aiden Holloway. Aiden's more of a, you know, he's got to be a three-point shooter because he just can't – he can't finish. He can shoot free throws really well. But it seemed like that's what he struggled the most of. And maybe as he gets older and gets bigger, that'll help him there. But I like Tahad Pettiford better as well for what this team wants to do. I think he can play the one and the two and be explosive at both. So we'll see how the rest of the season plays out. It's still early, guys. Got to be careful with these comments because you never know how they're going to play out as the season goes on. So, guys, another great Barn Takeover. The questions get better and better every single week. If you want to be a part of it, if you want to be a part of that, all you have to do is sign up for thebarnauburn.com. It's $1 for the first membership for the first month. Look what you get. In 1 month, you're going to have signing day. You're going to have the portal open, and you're going to get to go deep into the portal with info and updates. So you'll be able to stay in the loop on things. So check us out. Give us a shot for only $1 for a month. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So I really appreciate it, guys. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe. We'll be here every single day. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely. We'll be right back.